Today I'm continuing a series called It's All in Your Head. Come on, point at somebody and do this. Come on, tell them, it's all in your head. Okay? This series, we're dealing with the issue of the mind, okay? And all too often, problems in life can be traced back to a wrong attitude or a wrong mentality. Come on, look at somebody again and tell them, hey, it's all in your head. Listen, the way that you think determines what you become. I wish that I could just say that 1,000 times till you get a hold of that. The way that you think, your mindset, your the way you perceive the situations you're in, the way you think, the decisions you make determine who you become. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So through this series, we've been going through the first two verses of Romans 12, and we've been kind of breaking it down section by section. Week one, we talked about God's mercy. Far too many times, Christians kick people while they're down, but God is calling us to have a mercy mindset. Do you believe that? Listen, I found something out. People who really love God also love mercy. Because when you really love God, you remember where God brought you from. And you want to see him bring others and deliver them out of their situation. Amen? So that was week one. We talked about mercy. Week two, we looked at what it means to be a living sacrifice. Like I said, this building is not the church. This body is the church. You don't believe me? Listen to the Bible. This is what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When you give your life to Jesus, guess what he gets along with your heart? He gets all this. That means that we no longer have a right to do with our bodies what we want to do with them. We no longer have a right to put things into our body. Listen, we have to go run everything through Jesus because our body doesn't belong to us anymore. It belongs to him. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let me keep on going. Last week, we talked about not conforming to the world around us. We'll never make a difference until we live differently. Let me say that again. You will never make a difference in this world until we live differently. Some of you wonder why nobody in your circle of friends and nobody in your family has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let me tell you why. When they look at your life, they don't see anything different about your life than their own life. If you're going to really be a Christian, you have to live like Christ. We'll never make a difference in this world until we learn how to live differently. So God has called us to, as believers, to not live according to the standards of the world, but to live by a different set of values. And today we're going to look at what it means to be transformed. Somebody say, be transformed. Listen, you think Transformers is Optimus Prime? No. The ultimate transformer is the child of God because God has called us to transform, not into what we used to be, but a new creation. Let's read that one more time. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to prove the will of God in your life. You can't discern God's will for your life until your thoughts line up with his thoughts. But I want to talk a little bit about being transformed. Listen, transformation is really at the heart of Christianity. There is a transformation that takes place when you truly give your life to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Listen, you're not the person you used to be. The Bible says that when you truly give your life to Jesus Christ, you have been transformed into a new creation. Jesus made you into something you weren't, and what you used to be, Jesus has done away with. Listen, Christianity is not a self-help religion. It is about transformation. There are no three easy steps. Don't do this and don't do that and you'll be a Christian. No, no, no. Christianity is not about following rules. Christianity is about total transformation. It's not about following a list of rules on the outside. It's about a change of who you are on the inside. It's about surrendering every part of your life to Jesus so he can transform you into a new creation. Notice that this verse doesn't say transform yourself. It says be transformed. That's passive. That means that you have to put yourself in a position for Jesus to bring transformation in your life. You cannot transform yourself. Jesus is the only one. Put yourself in a position to be transformed by giving every part of your life to Jesus Christ. Go on, tell somebody, you got to give everything to Jesus. Because here's the thing, either Jesus is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. There is no halfway salvation. And you're thinking, you know what, Pastor, I can't do that. That's just too hard. I'm glad you're realizing that, because Christianity is not hard, it is impossible. You cannot do this on your own, but with God, all things are possible. Christianity is not a self-help program. I can't give you a checklist of good deeds to make you feel better about yourself. If you're looking for a self-help religion, go and join a mosque. Because when you go to the mosque, they'll tell you that you just don't eat pork, fast during Ramadan, pray to Mecca 5 times a day, and in the end, you'll get scales of justice from Allah. You see, Islam is a false religion based on works. It's all about what you do and what you don't do. Christianity doesn't make bad people good. It makes dead people alive. Without Jesus Christ, your good works mean absolutely nothing in the kingdom of God. If you're going to be transformed by Jesus Christ, you have to humble yourself and say, Lord, I can't even lift one righteous finger in your kingdom by myself. Be the Lord of my life. Be the ruler of my heart. Take the lead in my life. God is looking for people who will say, not my will, but your will be done. Transform me into the person you want me to be. Listen, all of us have been lukewarm at one time or another. And listen to me, God is a God of second chances. I'll never understand why people slide away from God. I just can't comprehend why people would willingly backslide and slide away from Jesus. But let me tell you something. You can slide back to him this morning. All you have to do is say, Lord, I give it all to you. And listen, God will set you ablaze, because the Bible says our God is a consuming fire. You say, I don't like it when he preaches like that. I don't care what you like. I'm here to tell you the truth this morning. I didn't come to preach what you like. I came to help you make it to heaven this morning. I don't want any of you to bust hell wide open and say it's my pastor's fault because he didn't tell me the truth. I want to be in heaven cheering you on and saying, I told you not to look at pornography. I told you not to take things that don't belong to you. I told you not to sleep with somebody you're not married to. You made it. You made it. You made it in Jesus' name. So no, I'm not here to make you feel good about yourself. You say, Pastor, you hurt my feelings. I wasn't trying to hurt your feelings. I was trying to kill you. We have to crucify the flesh. The person that we used to be has to die daily if Jesus is going to be the Lord of our lives. The Bible says that Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or blemish. My God, I can't help but wonder, if Jesus came back on a Saturday night, how many churches would be filled on Sunday morning? It worries me. to think about how many people will drive to church the next day with their Bibles in their hands, not even realizing that Jesus has come and gone. It is time for the church to get right with God while it's not too late, because Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming sooner than you think. When I start to think about my life 20 years from now, I have nothing. God won't allow me to think that far because I don't believe that we're going to be here that long. The signs of the time, the Bible prophecy after prophecy has been fulfilled. Jesus is coming back, and I've seen a great falling away in the church. People are still going to church on Sunday, but Jesus is not the Lord of their life. I don't care if you come and fill up a pew on Sunday. What I care about is not whether you're in church, but is Jesus in your heart? Come on, God is calling us to get right with Him. And it starts by getting back to the truth of the Word of God. Too many weak, cowardly people are afraid to preach the truth anymore. They're so scared that they're going to offend somebody that they compromise the truth. But Christianity says you have to die to yourself so Jesus can live in you. People are worried about offending folks, but listen, there is nothing more offensive than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel says that you are lost, you are dying, you are on the way to hell, and you cannot save yourself unless you submit yourself to Jesus and let Him save you. That's offensive. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. So we are not in the people-pleasing business, we are in the people-saving business. Listen, when I'm sick and I go to the doctor, I don't want him to just pat me on the back and tell me that I'm a good person and I'll be fine just the way I am. Pastor Chris, I'm going to get you to help me with this illustration. Come on up. You're going to be patient X, okay? Patient X, come forward this morning. Okay, let's just say that Pastor Chris is going to the doctor and his side is hurting. What would you do if your side was hurting? There he is. Okay, let's say he's coming. Man, he is in pain. He's walking like Gargamel. He comes in the doctor's office and he says, hey, my side is hurting. Imagine if I said, here, Pastor Chris, have a sucker. You're a special person. I love you just the way you are. Go ahead and go home. God bless your little heart. That's not what a doctor does. A doctor is going to poke you and prod you and push on you. Ouch, wait a minute. Something is wrong here, and he's going to help you fix the problem. That is symbolic. Thank you, Pastor Chris. Thank you for that. You can keep the sucker. Listen, that is... that's symbolic of what the Holy Spirit will do. When you hear the Word of God, you know what the Holy Spirit does? He's pushing on you. He's poking. He's prodding. Ouch, I hit a nerve there. There's some sin that needs to be dealt with there. Oh, wait a minute. There's a wrong attitude. Lord, ouch, you hurt me. Listen, let me tell you what the Holy Spirit does. He finds the problem and helps you deal with it. If you are a person of prayer, you might want me to preach about prayer, but maybe gossip is what you need me to preach about. If you're a person of faith, you might want me to preach on faith, but maybe lust is what you need me to preach about. Listen, the Holy Spirit, His job is to convict us of sin and to reveal the hidden things before God and to deal with those things in our life that would separate us from Him. So we're not going to bring you here on Sunday morning and pat you on the head and give you a sucker and pat you on the back and say, enjoy your trip to hell. No, we're going to tell you the truth so Jesus can save you and transform you and make you into the person that He wants you to be. But I thought that God loves me just the way I am. God loves you just the way you are. God will always love you. But God loves you so much that He won't let you stay the way you are. Because God is in the transformation business. The Bible says that you must be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. How do you live a life of holiness? It's not by following a list of rules. You don't do it by obeying the Old Testament law. You do it by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. Here's what you do every single day when you wake up in the morning. Say, Lord, I surrender my life to you. It's yours. I'm not my own, but I belong to you. Listen, it's not enough to repeat a prayer at church on a Sunday morning or get dunked in water or put your name on a membership roll. It's not about going through the motions. Jesus has to be Lord of your life. How did Jesus tell us to follow him? He said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. It doesn't say take up your cross every other Sunday. It doesn't say take up your cross at Christmas and Easter. It says take up your cross every day. If you want to be mine, you got to follow me every day. Some of you, when you wake up in the morning, you need to go into the bathroom and look into the mirror and just say no. Because you've been saying yes to yourself and what you want way too long. You need to get up in the morning and say, no, no flesh, you're not going to ruin what God has for me today. No, no, I'm not going to let your lust, I'm not going to let your bad attitude, I'm not going to let your gossiping spirit keep me from what God wants me to be. Come on, somebody, just say no. Listen, if you want to make it in this thing called Christianity, you need to take Romans 12, 1 and 2. And apply it to your life every day. It's not a one and done kind of thing. It's about daily transformation. It's about reminding yourself, I'm not who I used to be. Come on, say that. Say, I'm not who I used to be. But here's the point this morning. If you're not who you used to be, you cannot live how you used to live. Living a transformed life means letting go of the past. And I want to quickly go over two areas of the past that you have to let go of in order to be transformed. Are you ready this morning? Number one, the pride of the past. You have to let go of the pride of the past. If you're going to be transformed, you have to let go of the pride of yesterday. Okay, in 1400s Italy, there was a great minister and social reformer by the name of Friar Savonarola. Okay, and when he was a young minister, he would go to the local cathedral, and he noticed that every day an elderly woman would come and she would kneel before the statue of Mary and she would weep. And one day the friar went over to one of the priests and he said, look at that woman, look at her devotion to God. She comes and she weeps and prays every day. And the priest said, no, no, things are not as they appear. For you see, many, many years ago, the artist, the sculptor, needed someone to pose as the Virgin Mary. And this elderly woman kneeling down there, she used to be that young woman. So when you see her weeping, she's not worshiping the Lord. She's worshiping who she used to be. She was worshiping who she used to be. Some of you are missing out on the things that God wants to do in your life today because you're constantly looking back to yesterday. Come on, it's like people who always look back to high school and say, those were the greatest days. I remember when I was a young teenager and I was working in a grocery store. I was a bag boy. I got promoted to assistant vice bag boy. Okay, so I was moving up the corporate chain, but there I was stocking the shelf, and a man comes in and says, son, are you in high school? I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, enjoy it now because it'll be the best days of your life. And I was thinking, dear God in heaven, I hope that these are not the best days. Lord Jesus, please tell me that there are better days ahead of me. But some people truly believe that their best days have already happened. And what do? They go through life bitter, they go through life frustrated because they have the mindset that their present will never be as good as their past once was. Let me explain something to you. Memory is unreliable. In fact, memory is a liar. Your memory will lie to you. You remember your old girlfriend looking like Cindy Crawford. But in reality, she looked like Willie Nelson. She fell out of the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down, but that's not how you remember her, because your memory is a low-down, dirty, rotten, good-for-nothing liar, and it will deceive you. Your memory will tell you that things were better than they actually were. You see, the pride of the past is a dangerous thing. Maybe for you, the pride of the past is the pleasure of sin. Come on, it's just like the devil to remind us of all the fun we had back when we were sinners, but you got to be real careful with this one. Because the devil will bring up all the fun you used to have, never mind the fact that you were lost and miserable and on your way to hell. He'll never remind you of that. He'll remind you of the fun things, and he'll let you forget about the misery and the pain. He'll remind you of how much fun you had when you got drunk, but he won't remind you that you were puking your guts out and your head was hurting so bad you wanted to die afterwards. He'll remind you of how much fun you had when you were clubbing and hooking up, but he won't remind you about the time you had to go down to the clinic to get tested. Oh, Lord, I better keep going this morning. The enemy is slick. He'll remind you of the pleasure, but he won't remind you of the pain. Beware of the pride of the past, for it's a dangerous thing, and it will lure you away from the very Savior who died for you. Maybe for you it's not the pleasure of sin. Maybe it's just the success that you once had. Some of you think your best days are behind you. Listen, if you're a child of God, your best days are always ahead of you. Listen, I just believe that. If you are alive on the earth, you're a child of God, your best is yet to come. Come on, say, my best is yet to come. When the enemy brings up pride from the past, you need to remind him, devil, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus saved me and he transformed me. I'm a new creation and my best days are yet to come in Jesus' name. Listen to me, the past is gone and there ain't nothing you can do about it. The past has nothing to offer you, so stop letting the past have power over the present. Look at what the Apostle Paul said. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, you know what, no matter what, I'm not going to look back because there's still a work to do. There is still heaven to gain. There is still reward for me in the kingdom of God. I'm not going to let my past pull me away from my future in Jesus. Some of you need to stop looking back and start looking forward in Jesus' name. Isaiah, the Lord said, do not remember the former things nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it? God is asking us the question, shall you not know it? Will you recognize it when it comes? Will you realize that this is me and this is what I'm doing in your life? Because you can be so focused on yesterday that you miss out on what God wants to do in your life today. Almost finished this morning. Two areas of the past that you have to let go of to be transformed. Number one, the pride of the past. Number two, the guilt of the past. If anybody understood the guilt of the past in the Bible, it was David. David knew what it was like to mess up. Look at what David said in Psalm 38. He said, my guilt overwhelms me. It's a burden too heavy to bear. Listen, the burden of sin is far too heavy for you to handle. If you hang on to sin and guilt, it will destroy your life. The truth is, we all have things that we could feel guilty about. I could go through the Rolodex of my mind and I could find enough mistakes that I've made in my past to make me go crazy. Every one of us, don't look at me like you're so perfect. If I went flipping through your mind, I'd probably have to say, dear Jesus, come on, get those images out, God. Come on, every one of us, we all have things that we could feel guilty about in our past. We've all messed up along the way, but we cannot let the guilt of yesterday keep us from our tomorrow. We can't let guilt stop us, but listen, guilt doesn't go away on its own. Y'all know that. Guilt will not automatically resolve itself. And there are a lot of ways that people try to deal with guilt. Some people just try to ignore it. Come on, they just, this self-help, come on, this ain't no self-help religion, but they, come on, you're so good and you're special and you're important and you're so beautiful. Come on, they try to ignore the guilt and just flatter themselves. Other people try to numb the guilt. They're looking for the latest fun, the latest thrill. They're looking for the latest high to numb the pain of the guilt that they have in their life. Ultimately, most people just use guilt to beat themselves up. Come on, they punish themselves for the things they did in the past. And here's what happened. They go through life feeling like they're somehow unworthy of anything good. They have beat themselves down with the guilt of yesterday to the point where they feel like they don't deserve the things that God has in store for them. Some of you here today, you've settled for things far below God's standard for you. You settled for a wrong relationship. You've settled for a mediocre job. You've settled for a lifestyle that you know is not good for you. Why? You've allowed guilt to convince you that you don't deserve anything better than this. Let me tell you something. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're a new creation. That guilt of yesterday has been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are a child of God, and because of Jesus, you're worthy of the very best that God has. Because when you belong to Jesus, it's not about what you did, it's about what Jesus did. You have a new identity. Come on, somebody say, I'm not who I used to be. Listen, God never consults your past to determine your future. Those things that you did when you were living in the world, those things that you did when you were away from God, listen, God never consults those things to determine your future. If it's under the blood, God doesn't even have record of it. He never consults your yesterday to determine your tomorrow. There are many ways that people try to deal with guilt, but there's really only one solution. There's only one answer to the problem of guilt. You have to give it to God. You have to give it to Him. Jesus paid the price for our sins. Jesus took the burden of guilt upon Himself so that we can be free. So stop letting the enemy paralyze you with guilt from your past. Give it to God and trust God that He's forgiven you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not living for God. Maybe you're here today and you feel condemned by the sin in your life. Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't come to condemn you. Jesus came to save you. Jesus didn't come to point His finger at you and say, you're wrong, you're lost, you're going to hell, you have no hope. Jesus came to stretch out His hand and say, you know what? I'm the one who can save you. I'll be your hope. Jesus came to set us free from the guilt of yesterday and from the sin that has pulled us away from Him. Jesus died for us to save us. Like I said, we all have things we could feel guilty about. Every one of us, we have a tainted past. Not a single person has ever lived up to God's righteous expectations. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But that's why Jesus came. Jesus met God's standard. Jesus lived the life that God called us to live. Jesus did it for us. And not only that, but He died in our place to pay the price for our sins. Doesn't matter how good of a person you've been. It doesn't matter how bad of a person you've been. God doesn't save you based on how you've lived your life. He saves you based on one thing and one thing only, and that's His love for you. All you have to do is let go of the past, let go of sin, reach forward in faith, and receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord today. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. If you're not living for Jesus, you've never lived. You've never truly lived. You don't know what it's like to live life. You've lived a distorted version of life. You lived the devil's version of life. You lived the world's version of life. But you know nothing of true life. You know nothing of abundant life, of eternal life. All you have to do is give your life to Jesus and you'll truly live. You'll know what life is all about. You'll have meaning. You'll have purpose. You'll have a destiny. You'll have a plan in your life when you give your life to Him. Sure, sin may be fun for a season. The Bible says that the pleasures of sin only last for a while, but in the end, sin will destroy your life. Sin will take you further than you wanted to go. It'll keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And sin will cost you far more than you were ever willing to pay. If you're here this morning, if you're listening online or by CD, you have a choice to make today. Are you going to live for yourself, or will you live for Jesus? Are you going to live in sin, or will you let Jesus save you from sin this morning? Listen, you can't save yourself. Only Jesus has the power to save. And here's the good news. Jesus will save anybody. Jesus will save anybody who's willing to come to Him. I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've done. Jesus will save you if you just come to Him and surrender. He'll save you. He'll set you free. He'll give you hope. He'll give you meaning. He'll give you purpose. He'll give you satisfaction in your heart. You have an opportunity here this morning, right now, to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, don't live another day under the guilt of sin. Give your life to Jesus today and live. Will you pray with me for a moment? Lord, I pray for those who are here and those who are listening, Lord, who need you in their life. I thank you that you love them. I thank you that you gave everything, Lord, to save them, to set them free, Lord, to remove the guilt of the past, to make them a new creation. God, I pray for those who don't know you and need you. I pray that you would give them the faith, the boldness this morning to give their life to you, to surrender to Jesus and live this morning. Thank you, God. While everybody's eyes are closed, I want to ask you a simple question this morning. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Say, Pastor, I need Jesus in my life. I need to surrender my life to Him. Will you raise your hand? I want to pray for you this morning. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, I pray for those, Lord, who are listening this morning, who are listening right now, and they know in their heart that they need you. God, give them the courage and the boldness this morning. God, to truly live, to truly be alive, to know what it's like to be free, in Jesus' name. If you want to make that decision, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. I want you to pray this prayer and mean it with all of your heart. In fact, let's all pray this prayer out loud. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I surrender all to you. I give up my right to live the way I want to live so I can truly live. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Take away my guilt. Heal the pain of the past. Be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.